You're listening to Agriculture Today.
Whenever something major happens like that, the sellers who have been long for a long time, profitable for a long time, as soon as they see this thing getting a little toppy, getting a little bit of a curve to it, gone the way back down again, they're going to say, get me out of these positions. I am not going to ride this thing all the way to the bottom. And that's exactly what they did Thursday and Friday. Sell, 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 sell. And the buyer saw it. And what they're going to do, what they do, they step back and they hit their number and they step back even further. They hit their number. And so, yeah, by the time we were all said and done, we went into the weekend. Prices were down 20% from Tuesday. It was a massive, massive drop.
That's Josh Linville, Vice President of Fertilizer with StoneX, on what happened with fertilizer prices over the weekend. We've been focused on fertilizer and rising fuel prices, beginning to reshape how consumers spend with ripple effects that can impact demand across the ag economy. New data from Prosper Insights shows households becoming more cautious even as overall spending remains active. Consumer confidence dropped to 38.4% in April, down from the previous month, signaling growing concern about the economic conditions. And at the same time, nearly 60% of consumers reported noticing higher gasoline prices, a sharp jump from March, prompting more households to adjust their budgets. And that shift showing up in behavior, about 36.5% of consumers say they plan to drive less, while a growing share report cutting back on grocery spending. Cotton may be regaining a competitive advantage as rising energy costs and supply chain disruptions challenge polyester's long-held price edge. Textile industry analyst Bob Antoshak says global events are shifting the economics of fiber markets. Polyester has historically benefited from cheap energy, efficient shipping, and low-cost direct imports. But conflict in the Middle East has disrupted trade routes and has increased costs for petrochemical-based materials tied over to crude. Polyester production, he says, depends heavily on petroleum-based inputs, and tightening oil supplies have been pushing the cost higher. At the same time, closure of the de minimis import loophole is increasing costs for low-price fast fashion imports, many of which rely heavily on synthetic fibers coming in from China. Shift may improve cotton's outlook. USDA recently raised its projected average upland cotton price, while export sales and shipments have been improving over the past few weeks. But strong calf prices are not yet enough to trigger herd rebuilding, as drought and rising input costs continue to limit expansion decisions. Analysis from Hannah Baker, University of Florida Extension beef economist, highlights growing pressure on cow-calf producers across the Southeast. Drought remains a major constraint, with all of the Southeast experiencing some level of dryness and about 75% in severe to extreme conditions. Stressed forage combined with early year freezes has also reduced grazing availability and increased reliance on purchased feed. Input costs adding further pressure. Diesel prices running roughly 55% above a year ago. Some areas now topping $6 per gallon. It's Agriculture Today.
Introducing the heavyweight champion of the livestock operation, Case IH Farmall Utility Series Tractors.
Farmall Utility Tractors don't just outweigh the competition. They're engineered to distribute weight where it works, from the transmission, central housing, and axles to the differentials and final drives. So add some weight to your operation and go the distance with Farmall Utility Tractors.
I'm Scott Wiley. We'll try hard to earn your business, but even harder to keep it. That's it. That's all.
If you're going to succeed, you need cotton that's strong enough to perform around here where you grow. That's why Delta Pine cotton varieties are bred to meet the needs of your neck of the woods and are rigorously evaluated by local growers for maximum performance potential and consistency year after year. Strong cotton performance starts around here with locally tested Delta Pine cotton. Learn more at DeltaPine.com. Read and follow pesticide label directions, grain marketing, and other stewardship practices.
Ag News Now. Agriculture Today.
The conflict in Iran, closure of the Strait of Hormuz, and associated impacts on the flow of goods from the Middle East has led to significant increases in fertilizer and fuel prices since late February.
Nick Paulson is an agricultural economist with the University of Illinois.
Fertilizer prices had already been increasing since the beginning of 2025, with much sharper increases occurring since the conflict began on February 27th. The Illinois Production Cost Report from USDA's Ag Marketing Service shows that the average anhydrous ammonia price in Illinois has increased to just over $1,123 per ton as of April 17th. This is a more than 30% increase above price levels in late February prior to the conflict, and 56% higher than anhydrous prices in Illinois at the start of 2025. The average urea price in Illinois reached just over $902 per ton as of April 17th. This is an increase of 55% since the start of the conflict and a 68% increase since January 2025. The average price for 28% liquid nitrogen solutions surpassed $523 per ton as of mid-April, an increase of more than 20% since the start of the conflict and 60% higher than early 2025. Prices for nitrogen fertilizers in Illinois have all reached levels not seen since early to mid-2023, but continue to remain below the peaks reached during 2022. Prices for phosphate fertilizers have also been on the rise. The average price for DAP in Illinois climbed above $866 per ton, nearly 5% higher than in February prior to the conflict and over 19% higher than January of 2025. The average price for MAP has reached $894 per ton, 4% higher than prior to the start of the conflict and nearly 17% higher than early 2025. Similar to nitrogen products, phosphate fertilizers have reached average price levels not seen since 2023, but remain below the peaks reached in 2022. The average potash price in Illinois is $505 per ton as of mid-April. The average potash price has increased since 3% since the start of the Iran conflict, but has increased over 10% since the start of 2025. Potash prices have returned to levels similar to those from mid-2023 through mid-2024, but remain well below the peak levels reached in 2022. Fertilizer price increases since the beginning of the conflict in Iran will translate to smaller relative increases in total fertilizer costs for the 2026 crop, as a portion of fertilizers were purchased and applied prior to prices reaching their current highs. Attention will eventually turn to the impact on the 2027 crop year, particularly if the conflict is ongoing and prices continue to rise into the fall. Fuel cost increases since the start of the conflict in Iran have also been significant. The average farm diesel price in Illinois has reached nearly $4.60 per gallon as of April 17th. This is more than 45% higher than prices in late February and nearly 60% higher than the beginning of 2025. In contrast to fertilizers, diesel fuel costs had remained on a downward trend from the highs of 2022, reaching averages near or below $3 per gallon from mid-2024 through 2025. Current prices remain below peak prices in 2022, but are back to levels not seen since that year. In addition to the direct impact of higher fuel prices on production costs in 2026, concerns are now emerging as to the impact of a prolonged period of higher energy and fuel prices on inputs and overall production costs in 2027.
It's Agriculture Today.
This has been Scott, Scott Land Company in Dimmitt, Texas. We have literally sold thousands of acres of grassland in Texas, New Mexico, Colorado, and Oklahoma. Our inventory on ranches is as low as it has been in years. We really need listings on ranches of all sizes. Look at our website, scottlandcompany.com. Give us a call at 800-933-9698.
Let's talk about supply chains. Each year, Cotton Incorporated's global supply chain marketing team has hundreds of meetings with brands and retailers in all corners of the globe. They're working to find innovative ways to replace synthetic fabrics with natural, sustainable cotton to expand your customer base and drive more demand. You grow the cotton. The Cotton Research and Promotion Program helps grow the value. Learn more at cottonboard.org.
With Agriculture Today, here's Tony St. James.
Treasury's budget request represents a 12% decrease from the enacted level while still building on the success of fiscal year 2026 to continue strengthening the U.S. financial system.
Testifying before the Senate Appropriations Committee, Treasury Secretary Scott Bessent.
Along with managing our own discretionary budget, Treasury is charged with managing core financial functions and payment operations for the U.S. government. I take that commitment very seriously, not only ensuring that every dollar in our budget is thoughtfully executed, but also that every dollar collected, deposited, or dispersed through Treasury is secure and timely. I would like to begin by highlighting the Treasury Department's effort to ensure accountability and deliver results for the American people. There's no better example of delivering meaningful change for everyday Americans than President Trump's working families tax cuts, of which over 60 million returns, 60 million, claimed at least one of President Trump's signature new tax cuts this filing season by enacting no tax on tips, no tax on overtime, and new tax cuts for seniors and Social Security. We are delivering tax relief to working families. This season, over 7 million filers have claimed no tax on tips, with an average deduction of over $7,000. Over 28 million filers have claimed no tax on overtime, with an average deduction of over $3,100. And over 34 million seniors have claimed the enhanced deduction for seniors, with an average deduction of over $7,500. The legislation not only delivered historic tax relief, but also began building long-term financial security for future generations through initiatives like Trump accounts, of which nearly 5.5 million accounts have been opened, with over 1.3 million children eligible for the $1,000 pilot program contribution. Trump accounts demonstrate this administration's pledge to invest in the workforce of tomorrow, giving them an ownership stake in the success of the nation. As you know, filing season ended on April 15th. I'm happy to report that new leadership at the IRS has resulted in improved business processes and an increased focus on meeting private industry benchmarks for customer service. Our increased focus on digital-first taxpayer experience has resulted in lower call volumes as taxpayers increasingly find the information they need online and increased adoption of direct deposit, which will expedite the refunds for years to come. The budget request continues to streamline and modernize IRS operations, funding to encourage automation and technology investment, while ensuring taxpayers are met where they want to be by offering multiple service options. Although the request for IRS represents a modest decrease, we are still able to maintain current services and implement new initiatives aimed at improving customer experience and making tax compliance easier. We have introduced two new metrics for modernizing how IRS performance is measured, introducing Assistor service rate and enterprise service completion rate, better aligns performance measurement with how people interact with the IRS today. Additionally, the budget request targets inefficiency and duplicative spending through reductions in areas that have been operationally ineffective. I want to ensure that every dollar of taxpayer funding supports mission-critical work. By making targeted reductions in specific areas, we can enhance investments in national security by bolstering critical cyber capabilities, sanctions, and combating illicit financial activity. Treasury's Office of Terrorism and Financial Intelligence is at the forefront of America's fight against foreign adversaries, and the additional funding would expand Treasury's ability to trace, detect, and sanction financial networks acting in bad faith. The request also includes a small investment to advance institutional expertise in digital assets, housing finance, global financial markets within Treasury's departmental offices. This is particularly important with the implementation of the Genius Act, landmark legislation that created the first ever regulatory framework for stablecoins.
Agriculture Today.
Purple Wave Auction remains the trusted leader in online equipment auctions. What makes the difference is you. You are part of our growing global community that continues to trust Purple Wave with the equipment that builds and feeds America. This trust placed in us by our community, from construction to ag producers and fleet drivers, brings great equipment opportunities to their next owners. Join the Purple Wave community today. PurpleWave.com.
Manage your risk and take advantage of opportunities with StoneX. Utilizing StoneX's global presence to provide the best in market intelligence, a vast portfolio of risk management and marketing products, and a team of brokers who specialize in working with those in agriculture, StoneX provides the resources you need to make the best possible decisions. Learn more about the StoneX Advantage. Call Donna Hughes at 214-613-1688.
There's substantial risk to futures and options trading. Not all products are suitable for all producers.
You're listening to Agriculture Today.
With the tariffs and what has happened to the farming industry, I represent a lot of farmers.
Interesting exchange with Ambassador Jamison Greer from the U.S. Trade Representative's office and Representative Frank Mervin from Indiana at a House Appropriations Subcommittee hearing.
I specifically want to ask the question that China's soybean market has been closed. That market was filled by Argentina. The administration sent $40 billion to Argentina, while the farmers are suffering here because of the tariffs and the closing of the markets. I'm a believer of E15 and making sure that we do what we can to open those markets, but also with the closing of the Strait of Hormuz, nitrates and fertilizers are increasing by 30-40% consistently, and growing season is starting now. And so the administration and you specifically have talked about lowering costs while grocery costs are rising, which is directly related to the input costs of our farmers. Please tell me how that, what you would say to the farmers who believe that it was a slap in the face to give $40 billion to Argentina, who took over a market that was their market.
Thank you, Congressman. With respect to Argentina, again, this is something China does. Anytime we try to defend or take care of unfair trading practices, China tries to squeeze us. And they always use our farmers as a target. That's why we don't want them to be super dependent. They get it from Brazil. They get it from Argentina.
Purposely, the tariffs purposely took the soybean market away from the American farmers because you don't want them to be have that market?
I don't understand. What happens is when we try to take care of unfair trade practices by the Chinese, who are a national security threat, the Chinese response is often to target American farmers.
Correct.
Right? I think we agree on this. And then the Chinese start importing from Brazil or Argentina or other places. With respect to the $40 billion, that wasn't a gift.
I didn't call it a gift.
You said you gave it to him. So you give a gift.
You're being presumptive. The United States forwarded $40 billion to Argentina. Don't put words in my mouth. I did not say gift.
The United States of America made a return on that.
Very good.
So, if you don't want us to make a return on our money, we don't have to.
But you gave them a return on what?
When you give a country a loan from a fund that's set up by Congress to help float countries.
So the $40 billion to Argentina was a loan?
So Congress, they control the purse, right? And you set up, by statute,
the executive
funds at the Treasury Department that they can use to float countries. That's what it's for.
So right? Congress or the executive gave the $40 billion – no, I'm sorry, returned $40 billion to Argentina, because we're losing track that the farmers – you didn't answer the question. The administration gave $40 billion to a country that took their market. What do you say to the farmers who feel like it's a slap in the face that one market was closed and you enhanced – the country that took their market away?
We have a 25 million metric ton commitment from the Chinese every year for the next 3 years to buy soybeans. 25 million metric tons a year. That's what we have from the Chinese. That's what they committed to do. That's what we've negotiated.
Are they currently doing that?
And they don't buy it all at once. They do it over the year.
Because why would the farmer say that the market is closed if you have a commitment?
We do have a commitment.
But it's not being fulfilled because of the tariffs.
Well, let's talk about the data. If you look, they had a commitment from our last meetings, from the last quarter of 2025 and for the sailing season, and they filled that. And we have 25 million metric tons. I'm going to see with the President of the United States, the Chinese, next month. And we're going to follow up on this to make sure they fulfill it.
It's Agriculture Today.
Introducing the heavyweight champion of the livestock operation, Case IH Farmall Utility Series Tractors.
Farmall Utility Tractors don't just outweigh the competition. They're engineered to distribute weight where it works, from the transmission, central housing, and axles to the differentials and final drives. So add some weight to your operation and go the distance with Farmall Utility Tractors.
I'm Scott Wiley. We'll try hard to earn your business, but even harder to keep it. That's it. That's all.
If you're going to succeed, you need cotton that's strong enough to perform around here where you grow. That's why Delta Pine cotton varieties are bred to meet the needs of your neck of the woods and are rigorously evaluated by local growers for maximum performance potential and consistency year after year. Strong cotton performance starts around here with locally tested Delta Pine cotton. Learn more at DeltaPine.com. Read and follow pesticide label directions, grain marketing, and other stewardship practices.
Ag News Now. Agriculture Today.
We talk about the impact of selection pressure applied to marbling and what it's done for us in the beef industry over the past 10, 20, 25 years.
Dr. Mark Johnson is Oklahoma State Beef Breeding Specialist.
We discussed last week, we are seeing a shift in our weekly harvest mix of carcasses. The month of March, we actually saw about 15% of all the beef carcasses grade prime. We're down to about 8% that are grading select. And of that 73 to 74% that are grading choice, we're seeing a shift in those to the upper two-thirds of choice. What is the significance of that? When we think about quality-based, premium-branded products like certified Angus beef and some others, you've got to be in the upper two-thirds of choice or that highest quality grade of prime to actually get there. So, why is this happening? Well, we're seeing fewer Mexican feeder cattle in our mix. We are feeding cattle longer, and we know that taking them to heavier weights and feeding them longer is tapping all the marbling potential we can, but the reality is, without the additive genetic potential to marble, there wouldn't be that potential to get these higher quality grades. And so underlying all this and the foundation for it is really the genetic potential for our cattle to marble. We take a look at something specific. The Angus breed, which has about an 80% plus share of all the bulls marketed in this country, has seen a dramatic increase in the marbling EPD in the population of cattle. If you take a look at the chart that's on the screen right now, we can go back about 50 years, see where we incrementally made some improvement through the 70s, 80s, and 90s. That began to bump up and get a little bit steeper up into about 2005. More increase up to about 2015. But in the last 10 years, dramatic spike in the marbling EPD by birth year as we track that genetic trend in Angus cattle. The average Angus born in 2025 has a marbling EPD of 92 hundredths. There has been great economic incentivation to improve marbling. When we think about the industry norm of grid-based marketing of carcasses, obviously the premiums paid for those higher quality grades, it gives incentive to cattle feeders to actually identify higher marbling cattle. It also serves as an example of using modern selection tools, genomics, EPDs, genetic merit scorecards, because it's not only those cattle going to harvest at higher quality grades that are incentivized, but when we can identify young breeding stock, be it in the forms of bulls or heifers, to put in production, there has been greater economic incentive to produce those type of cattle. As I always say, and it's been a couple years since we talked about this, this is a great success story on behalf of cattle breeders in North America and the genetic improvement we've made. Marbling is a highly heritable trait, serves as an example. This is not to suggest that we need to have single trait selection for marbling, but in reality, a very balanced breeding approach, taking all our economically important traits into consideration, marbling is not genetically antagonistic to any other of those traits that are economically important to us. It does nothing to raise production costs, further incentivizing that potential to get these higher quality grades.
Once again, prime 15%, choice 73 to 74%, select 8%. Dr. Mark Johnson, Oklahoma State. It's Agriculture Today.
This has been Scott, Scott Land Company in Dimmitt, Texas. We have literally sold thousands of acres of grassland in Texas, New Mexico, Colorado, and Oklahoma. Our inventory on ranches is as low as it has been in years. We really need listings on ranches of all sizes. Look at our website, scottlandcompany.com. Give us a call at 800-933-9698.
Let's talk about supply chains. Each year, Cotton Incorporated's global supply chain marketing team has hundreds of meetings with brands and retailers in all corners of the globe. They're working to find innovative ways to replace synthetic fabrics with natural, sustainable cotton to expand your customer base and drive more demand. You grow the cotton. The Cotton Research and Promotion Program helps grow the value. Learn more at cottonboard.org.
with Agriculture Today. Here's Tony St. James.
Ambassador Greer, I read with interest in your testimony, quote, "Our most important trade agreement is our Constitution." Yet a few paragraphs later, you state, "The president's trade program continues despite the Supreme Court's decision in February relating to IEEPA tariffs." That's puzzling to me.
Interesting exchange in a House Appropriations Subcommittee where Pennsylvania Representative Madeline Dean questioned Trade Ambassador Jameson Greer.
That's ironic. It's a paradox. You ground your work, trade work, in our Constitution. You emphasize that that is what the administration relies upon. And yet, the Supreme Court found the president's tariffs to be unconstitutional, to be illegal. So I want to say to you, I want you to live up to the order that the Supreme Court said. The monies must be returned to those who paid them. You'll see some difference of opinion here, but it's very clear the monies were illegally gotten by this government, by this administration. They are illegally sitting in Treasury, and they need to go back to those who paid them in full with interest. So let me examine that with you. I noted that you spoke a lot about trade deficits, trade surplus. We heard the president do all of that. Reminds me of the last time we had a trade surplus, as you well know, was in the Great Depression. To say the least, that's not a good thing. It was in part as a result of isolationist policies of the 1920s. I'd hate to have history repeat itself. The administration stole from American businesses and consumers in an illegal way with the tariffs. The money must be returned. Will you commit to making sure the money is returned in full without request from those who it was taken from, automatically to those from whom it was taken? Will you commit to work with Treasury, Customs and Border to return in full automatically?
So, yes, Congresswoman, sir? Anything the court tells us to do, we'll do it, right?
And
so,
are you going to hide behind the court didn't speak to we have to return the money or not?
So, as I was just speaking with Mr. Ivey, Customs and Border Protection has a program, right? We don't just do a willy-nilly grab and just anyone comes and we give them money. They come in through the CBP program that's set up. It's a portal that opens on Monday.
I want to interrupt you. Stop me because I'm aware of the program.
Well, that's how we give the money back.
No. Here's how you collected the money. I took a look at this. This is an entry summary for an importer, a small importer.
The form 7501. I'm very familiar with it.
I think you're right.
Of course, I'm right.
It is seven. Very good. Then you know on 7501, IEEPA tariffs are listed here as clear as day to the penny, to the product and to the penny. There should be no application process. Return. Hit the button. Return it to those who paid it. Will you commit to saying that the program needs to be changed? It should be automatic. Yes or no? Will you commit to that?
Well, I don't control customs, so I can't commit on behalf of customs. No, I can't commit on behalf.
As part of the administration and as the ambassador of trade. Yes or no?
So there's a manufacturer ID number on that form, and if you take that and you go to the portal and you put it in and you tell them, I'm the manufacturer, CBP can look at it and verify.
I'm going to reclaim my time.
I mean, this is just normal.
In terms of paying interest on these monies wrongly, illegally, unconstitutionally gotten by this administration, interest is owed on it. Do you agree with that?
If there's interest owed on by statute, it gets paid. That's right.
If there is interest, or is there interest?
I'll defer to CBP. I don't have the specific.
Do you know what the interest rate is?
I think it's 6%.
I don't think that's true.
Okay, what is it?
I think it's 4.5. I'll take 6.
Oh, 4.5 is better.
I'll take 6 since it was illegally gotten.
I'll ask CBP.
But the IRS corporate overpayment rate is 4.5, so we can check on that.
We'll do 4.5.
Oh, you know what? No, you're right. You're right. Overpayments exceeding $10,000 go to 6%. You're absolutely right. I missed that.
It's Agriculture Today.
Purple Wave Auction remains the trusted leader in online equipment auctions. What makes the difference is you. You are part of our growing global community that continues to trust Purple Wave with the equipment that builds and feeds America. This trust placed in us by our community, from construction to ag producers and fleet drivers, brings great equipment opportunities to their next owners. Join the Purple Wave community today. PurpleWave.com.
Manage your risk and take advantage of opportunities with StoneX. Utilizing StoneX's global presence to provide the best in market intelligence, a vast portfolio of risk management and marketing products, and a team of brokers who specialize in working with those in agriculture, StoneX provides the resources you need to make the best possible decisions. Learn more about the StoneX Advantage. Call Donna Hughes at 214-613-1688.
There's substantial risk to futures and options trading. Not all products are suitable for all producers.